request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
Hey, sports fans, brighten your day by tuning into the sunny side of sports Monday through Friday at 1630 and 1830 UTC. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Sunny and on Twitter at VOA Sunny Sports. Or check out the blog at blogs.voanews.com/sunny. It's the sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, it's Monday, August 12th. Welcome to the sunny side of sports. We hope you had a good weekend celebrating the true start of the 2019-2020 soccer season in many locations around the world. So it's fitting we have a football-heavy show today. So let's take a look. We've got Samson Omale, who has a roundup of some of the key CAF Confederations Cup preliminary matches contested over the weekend. Our friend Prince Nesta joins us for a conversation about some of the key moments from the opening weekend of the English Premier League and the French Ligue 1. And my colleague Gwen Uten checks in with some news about English legend Wayne Rooney, who, as you recall, has been a member of Washington, D.C.'s Major League Soccer team, that's D.C. United, for the last 13 months. As Sonny mentioned on Friday, one of the historic matches of the past weekend's CAF matches was the tilt between Malindi of Zanzibar and Mogadishu City Club. Sonny said it's the first time in 29 years a Somali team has participated in continental club competition. So here's the result. The two teams failed to produce a goal, running to a scoreless tie. And that sets up the second leg game scheduled for August 24th. It'll be played in Zanzibar because of the continuing security problems in Somalia. We'll be sure to provide the results of that match in a couple of weeks. Now, with more news from the opening leg of the Champions League, we're joined by Samson Omale. Welcome to the show, Samson.
We begin the sports with the CAF Champions League preliminary round. First leg matches played across various venues on the African continent this past weekend. A total of 27 matches were played between Saturday and Sunday. Al Ahly of Egypt cruised to a 4-0 win over Al Tabara at the Borg Arab Stadium in Alexandria on Sunday. The record 8-time CAF Champions League winners were too strong for their South Sudanese opponents from start to finish as they kicked off their quest for a 9th continental crown in style. Another former winner of the competition, South Africa's Orlando Pirates, lost by a goal to nil at Zambia's Green Eagles. Coach Milutin Seredajovic is the Orlando Pirates manager. He speaks on his side's loss.
We believe that we have dominated in all the aspects of the game except one crucial aspect, and that is to put the ball in the net. In that regard, we believe that we have what it takes to get the result that will take us to the second round.
Another South African side, Mamelodi Sundowns, lost 2-1 to Otoho de Oyo. The Brazilians played the majority of the fixture with 10 men following the early dismissal of captain Lomfo Kekana. The biggest result came from Nigeria, where Kano Pillars defeated Ghanaian giants Asante Kotoko 3-2 and a 5-goal thriller. The other Nigerian team in action on Saturday was 2-time African champions Enyimba, who succumbed 1-0 away to Rahimo of Burkina Faso. Some Nigerian football fans react to Kano Pillars' win and Enyimba's defeat in the CAF Champions League first round.
I personally don't think it's a good result, especially when you consider the fact that they have shown they can score, but also the Ashanti Kotoko side, they also had shown that they really can score. If they could score two, you know, if they are able to score more goals back at home, then you have an unpleasant result for Kano Pillars.
Kano Pillars, the two sides have shown their side who can score goals, so I think they just need to take the game back
to Ashanti, because scoring 3 goals in a Champions League match is not a mean feat.
The highest scoring game of the day came from the Gambia, where Brikama United held Moroccan giant Raja Casablanca to a 3-3 draw. Zambia's Zesco United pulled a 2-0 win in Swaziland against Green Mamba, while Tanzania giant Simba and Young Africans drew against Mozambique's UD Songo 0-0 away, and Botswana Starship Rollers also drew 1-1 at home, respectively. In women's football, Banyana Banyana sealed their third straight COSAFA Women's Championship title with a 1-0 win over Zambia in the finals on Sunday. Siseko Makubila scored midway through the first half as Banyana Banyana secured their third women's COSAFA title in a row under coach Desiree Ellis, who also won the trophy as a player. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. We look forward to your next report on Friday. We hope you have a great week. Continuing with the soccer news from the weekend, we're now joined by our friend Prince Nesta for some sporty soccer Nesta nuggets. Now, I woke up early on Saturday morning to see the English Premier League on my television for the first time since the late spring, and it was a sight for sore eyes. Prince is here to recap some of the key matches from the first weekend. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. The 2018-2019 Premier League campaign kicked off during the weekend with last season's runners-up Liverpool opening its bid to end a 30-year English title drought by beating Norwich 4-1 with 4 goals in the first half against the Premier League newcomers. Norwich captain Grant Henley's hapless on goal just 7 minutes in set the tone for what could be a long season for the Canaries before Egyptian playmaker Mo Salah, Virgil van Dijk and Belgian striker of Kenyan descent Divo Origi made it 4-0 at halftime. Timo Pukki pulled a goal back for Norwich in the second half as Liverpool took their foot off the gas after the break. Here's an interesting fact for the Red supporters. The last time Liverpool played Norwich at home on the first day of the season, the Reds actually went on to win the league. Last season's domestic treble winners Manchester City picked up from where they left off last season as Raheem Sterling's hat-trick inspired a 5-0 demolition of West Ham at the London Stadium. The Blues ran riot after a tight first half with Brazilian forward Gabriel Jesus and substitute Sergio Aguero adding their names on the score sheet to secure the 3 points for the champions.
So, Prince, I saw that Arsenal kicked off their 2019-2020 Premier League campaign with a win.
That's right, Dan. Arsenal head Gabon hitman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang to thank for their first 3 points of the season as they beat Newcastle United 1-0 at St. James's Park. After sharing the golden boot with Egyptian star Mo Salah and Senegalese forward Sadio Mane last term, the 30-year-old was absolutely delighted to get off the mark for the new campaign. Manchester United also recorded their biggest Old Trafford win over Chelsea since 1965 to condemn Frank Lampard to a miserable 4-0 loss as a Premier League manager. Marcus Rashford scored twice, either side of a close-range effort from Antoine Martial, who had been given the number 9 shirt back following the sale of Romelu Lukaku to Inter Milan. Substitute Daniel James completed the scoring with a goal on his debut 9 minutes from time. A late hurricane brace also helped Tottenham beat Premier League newcomers Aston Villa 3-1 at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. John McGinn handed Villa a surprise lead on their top-flight return when he held off Danny Rose to convert inside 10 minutes before Tottenham's French record signing of DR Congolese descent Tanguy Ndombele fired home a debut goal in the 73rd minute to break Villa's resistance.
Thanks for that, Prince. So I've been reading a little bit on the Premier League, and I understand that there are several new laws, some new rules that have been introduced to the Premier League. What do you have to say about that?
That's why, Dan. First, a player must now exit the pitch when being taken off at the nearest touchline. So what's going to happen is that they'll be forced to walk behind goals and around the edge so as to return to the dugout. The only exception is when a player is out injured or being stretchered off the field. Red cards can also now be dished out to coaches in the Premier League for kicking or throwing a water bottle, with it being seen as a violent action. This is along with any other offensive, insulting or abusive language or gesturing. The handball rules have also been further defined to help determine what is a handball and which isn't. A player is actually seen to have committed a handball if their arm is in an unnatural position, including having their hands behind their back. Another example is actually when it's actually above their shoulder height. We also used to see this particular spectacle where attacking players used to insert themselves in defensive walls and attempted to knock their opponents just as the free kick was being struck. That's actually now history. The new rule says that when there are three or more players in a wall, no one from the opposing team can be within a meter of it.
Finally, Prince, let's move a little bit south. French League One kicked off in style over the weekend.
That's right, Dan. Lyon hammered Monaco 3-0 in their first game of the Ligue 1 season, as former Brazil defender Silvinho started his coaching reign in perfect style. French footballer of Malian descent Moussa Dembele and Dutch forward of Ghanaian descent Memphis Depay scored first half goals for Lyon as Lucas Toussaint fired home the third win 10 minutes left to send the kids to the top of the table. Edinson Cavani's controversial VAR penalty in the 24th minute and a fine second half display from French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe, coupled up with a goal and an assist for Angel Di Maria, kicked off PSG's title defense, the straightforward 3-0 victory over Nîmes. PSG, who won the league with a 16-point cushion last season, are chasing a third successive Ligue 1 title. Lille forward Victor Osimhen also scored twice on his French league debut to help the northern side to a 2-1 win over Nantes. The 20-year-old Nigerian striker, hired this summer to compensate for the loss of Nicolas Pepe, showed both his athletic abilities and technical skills to secure 3 points for his new club. And Prince Nesta, on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Prince. Here on the sunny side of sports, we look forward to catching up with you as the season progresses. It's a long road ahead to April. Now, speaking of world soccer, I wanted to give you a quick update on Major League Soccer. That's the top-level soccer league here in the U.S. As you may recall, the season started in North America in late March, and the final match day is Sunday, October 6th. If the season ended today, the conference champions would be the Philadelphia Union in the Eastern Conference and Los Angeles Football Club in the Western Conference. Now, LAFC doesn't get all the hype. Some people think it's the number two team in LA behind the LA Galaxy. But for the last 2 years, they've been one of the top teams in MLS. So for those of you who are Zlatan Ibrahimovic fans, if the season ended today, his Galaxy would be on the outside looking in. Zlatan is third in the league in goals with 16 on the season, trailing Carlos Vela of LAFC and Joseph Martinez of Atlanta United. Wayne Rooney of DC United is fifth with 11 goals. Speaking of DC United's leader, my colleague Gwen Uten joins us now with some news about Rooney's soccer future. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Dan. Wayne Rooney's contract will allow the star forward to become a player coach for Derby County, a major coup for the second-tier club and a major loss for DC United. On Tuesday, Rooney held a news conference in England with Derby manager Philip Cocu, and Rooney said the opportunity to return home was too good to turn down.
The opportunity to come back in England and play, but also to take up a coaching role with the club and work under Philip was too great for me to turn down. So, I'm delighted to be back here, and I'm looking forward to coming back in January and trying to help the team push forward and hopefully push for promotion.
Rooney's move back to England completes a DC United run that, although short-lived, helped to revitalize the franchise. But Rooney says he will remain with United through this season and the playoffs and is fully focused on delivering the team an MLS Cup.
It's only fair to them that they've been fantastic to me. We're in a good position in the league, and there's 9 games left of the season. I think it'd be disrespectful for them if I didn't finish the season and try and help us get into the playoff spot and try and win a trophy. So, but no, I think that was always the plan, and then obviously to join it in the January.
United will reportedly not receive a transfer fee, and efforts to retain the soccer star through another season were unsuccessful. And according to Rooney, additional opportunities were presented to him as well, but none as attractive as Derby County.
There was other clubs who were making offers and inquiring about me, but I think I made the decision to come here, and then that was it. So I weren't going to go back on my decision. As I said before, the opportunity to work with Philip and his staff and then come here. And I think not only that, Derby is a club with great ambitions. I think you've seen over the last few years they're putting a lot of money into the club. They're trying to take that next step to get into the Premier League. And I felt like it was a place where I could come in and use my experience and try and help them to achieve the goals.
Rooney's 18-month contract with Derby has the option of a 1-year extension and moves him closer to fulfilling his dream of becoming a full-time manager. And current manager Philip Cocu says Rooney has come to the right place as both player and coach.
This is a great signing for the club and for the team. To play with his quality, his experience. It's absolutely a big asset for the club. Also the way we work with a lot of youngsters coming up. So to help the team to develop. And I think we can help him in his future role as being a coach, being a manager. So I think it's a perfect moment to join together and to work together.
In the meantime, Rooney is set to rejoin DC United for training and conditioning ahead of their Sunday match against LA Galaxy. And the 33-year-old says pushing his body to the limit as his playing career winds down is a game of wait and see.
Obviously, I'm a player who knows my body. I know I'm experienced enough now to know that if I feel like I need to, I maybe can't play in one game and I have to sit out that game, then obviously I'll speak with the manager over that. But no, I think I feel good. I've played obviously the whole season in the States, so I feel good.
Rooney's contract with DC United was to have run through the 2021 season, but he's set to leave the club at the end of this MLS campaign. He's set to begin his tenure at Derby County in January 2020. Dan, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Dan Friedel in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. So, speaking of both DC United and the LA Galaxy, the two teams matched up Sunday at Audi Field, the brand new soccer stadium in Washington, D.C., just about 2 kilometers from VOA's studios. And with the score tied 1-1 in the 71st minute, Zlatan Ibrahimovic tried to volley in a long cross off a free kick, but the shot was turned away on an impressive save by goalie Bill Hamid. It was one of Zlatan's single-game record-setting 14-shot attempts. A few minutes later, Lucas Rodriguez tallied the decisive goal for DC United by drilling home a rebound. Now, DC travels to play the Vancouver Whitecaps, while the Galaxy head to play FC Dallas next. We'll be back with more on the Sunny Side of Sports after this VOA programming message.
That is 25-year-old Monica Michael Kelly. Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
I'm Dan Friedel, in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. While we've gotten our kicks out of the soccer world today, Ding My Goat has this report about another type of kicking, and that's kickboxing. She reports that some women in South Sudan are learning kickboxing skills so they can defend themselves against attackers. But one woman, Monica Michael Kelly, is hoping to become the first female champion to represent South Sudan in kickboxing. Ding My Goat reports for our VOA from Juba.
That is 25-year-old Monica Michael Kelly honing her kickboxing skills in the gym. Clad in blue shorts, a vest, and boxing gloves, she pounds a punching bag as her coach braces his weight against the bag and her punches at Juba's youth center. Kelly, a Form 4 student in Juba, has been training with coach Okello Puro Obob 3 times a week since 2014, after her mother encouraged her to visit the youth center.
I was just home and then got lazy, and then my mom's like, go to training, go to anywhere for girls. What do I? Then I start come here. Like, I'll start boxing. Then from there, these people are not serious about really like training every day. Then I went to kickboxing. They are always here, and there is the girls. Like, when you see they are doing, so nice.
Kickboxing is a form of martial art that combines boxing with elements of karate, in particular kicking with bare feet. Coach Obob describes it as an excellent sport for girls and women who are often denied the chance to show their aggression in sport. It also helps women defend themselves in a country where sexual violence is a pervasive problem. Kelly says since she began training, her proudest moment was when she received a gold medal and a certificate by the South Sudan Boxing Committee, followed by her performance at the Nyakuron Cultural Center. In 2017, Kelly took part in a kickboxing competition in Uganda capital, Kampala. She says even though she didn't win, she performed quite well, given her weight of 50 kgs against a competitor who weighed 65 kilograms.
I think the girl win because she's not my belt. She's not my this one, because my belt is 50 and hers is 65. Then I'm just like, I'm not supposed to play with her. Then coach tell me that you have to, because I know you're strong, you're like playing with guys every time.
When Kelly took up kickboxing, there were only 3 young other women training in the gym. She says the 3 eventually gave up the sport because they felt the training was too tough. As a kickboxer, Kelly says, you must train several times a week or you will lose your technique.
I have like 4 girls. Then another one got married, another one busy with school, then I'm free. So I'm just like, I'll make it, then I'll be the champion.
While she's committed to becoming a kickboxing champion in South Sudan, Kelly says it won't be easy. For one thing, she says, she won't be able to attend some of the training sessions and she won't be able to attend a female kickboxing competition in Rwanda next month because Kelly says she is not ready. Coach Obob says despite the obstacles she faces, Kelly has shown enormous courage.
She's been competing in East Africa, mostly in Uganda, and of course in South Sudan. Her qualities are, she's very gentle. You can't even tell she's a kickboxer. Of course, she's loyal. She's here with us every time.
Obob says Kelly accompanies him as his assistant to UNICEF events, where he teaches experts different forms of martial arts and self-defense. Obob also says he hopes other South Sudanese women will participate in kickboxing competitions outside the country.
With peace, everything will come through. And I would like to see them going to all African games, mostly some championship, world championship, I'd like to see South Sudan represented worldwide, and through sport is the best opportunity to bring these young people, young girls together.
Bob says learning kickboxing also supports the development of social skills associated with team sports, such as reliability, conflict resolution, confidence, and positive self-image. For VOA News, I am Ding Makot in Juba.
Thank you, Ding, for that report. I have just enough time for a shout out to the Baltimore Orioles just up the road from VOA, winning 8-7 yesterday in a home run in the bottom of the ninth inning against the Houston Astros after losing the night before 23-2. And that wraps up the August 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. I'll be back tomorrow. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batty, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll have an in-depth discussion on child marriage and how girls are valued around the world. Married teenage girls are often physically abused and forced into lives of chores and childbearing. The worth of a girl on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new study published in the Journal of the American Heart Association suggests a possible link between eating a diet of mostly plant-based foods and fewer animal-based foods to better heart health and a lower risk of dying from cardiovascular diseases such as heart attack or stroke. The study shows that people who ate the most plant-based foods had a 16% lower risk of having a cardiovascular disease, a 32% lower risk of dying from heart disease, and an overall 25% lower risk of dying from any cause compared to those who ate the least amount of plant-based foods. To reach their findings, the study researchers analyzed a database of food intake information from more than 10,000 middle-aged U.S. adults who did not have cardiovascular disease at the beginning of the study. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London!
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English.